Good morning. Well, that was unexpected and wonderful. Let's do it again. Good morning. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time here, we're glad you found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways we are a church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a very helpful calendar and list of announcements. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing by the communion table following worship today. And during the offering, if everyone would please sign the hospitality register and pass it down so that we're able to greet those around us by name. Also, during the offering, you'll notice that we're going to have a few of our younger helpers today working on that. So please be patient while they learn what they're doing. A few announcements this morning. John.
Good morning. This week at the coffee hour after the service in the fellowship hall, there are two tables set up. One has a bunch of cards that have the names and addresses of our shut-ins on them. There are two sets, so I think they're about 30 cards. And we just invite you to go down there, pick up a card. The address is already on the envelope. Just write a quick note and to our shut-ins, and we'll send those off this week. It'll be nice for them to get something in this kind of dark and dreary time of the year. And also, there's a second table set up with just two big white sheets of paper. As many of you know, Sister Barbara Moore took a little bit of a fall, and that's why she can't be here with us filling in at the pulpit this month and next month. And she's doing fine. She's recovering, but there's just a big piece of paper, and there's some colorful markers. So we just all write her a note of best wishes and encouragement in a recovery, and draw a little picture if you want. Take some of the kids in there and do that with that, and we'll get that off to her sometime this week. And Jen has some cards that the Sunday school kids have done that we're going to include in that, and I think we'll take a prayer shawl also from the prayer shawl ministry and give that to her so she has that and has our presence as she continues to mend and heal. So thank you.
Good morning. Just a couple of reminders. Next week, immediately or at 11:15, following worship, will be the congregational meeting. It's an important meeting. We're going to be electing the nominating committee for this year, and also reviewing the annual reports. And we'll have update reports from both the pastor nominating committee and the property development committee. So, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but this will be a quick meeting, so you'll still get home in time for the game. And secondly, as you may have noticed, the annual schedules are out. These are the schedules of usher teams, lay readers, greeters, and communion teams, and what dates that they will be serving. So if you did this last year and are on a team or a lay reader, or if you're a new volunteer, please check this schedule and mark the dates. There's paper copies outside the sanctuary here. There's a copy on the website and a copy in the February Harbinger. And when in doubt, call the office. But the lists are done, so thank you for your volunteering.
Good morning, I'm Keith Hadley, and I have an announcement relative to the Rock Salt Center, which is a mission of our presbytery. It is a church in the South Wedge neighborhood. The congregation dissolved, but the presbytery decided to keep the church, not sell the building. One of the reasons being there's a food pantry that's operated there. They serve 3 days a week, typically around 50 families a day, so they're 400, 500 families are served monthly at this food pantry. It's very critical for that area. We're doing renovations on the building, and we have to move the food pantry for a couple weeks. So this Saturday from 12 to 2, we're looking for people that love to grocery shop. Bad selling feature, but even if you don't, we just need to move the food from one room to another. So if you can help next Saturday, 12 to 2, let me know. I'll hang around after church today. Thanks.
Just a couple things on the youth front. Junior highs meet here at 8 on this Saturday for extreme bowling and our lock-in. And then on Sunday morning, we're going to collect soup and money for the Super Bowl. More details are in the bulletin on that. And the Jamaica team will be commissioned during worship next week and have our final orientation for the youth and their parents. And that's going to be right after the congregational meeting after church. Are there any other announcements? All right, then I'd like to warmly welcome Reverend Harry Hines back to the pulpit this morning. Let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Stand if you are able. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
His mercies never come to an end.
They are new every morning.
Great is your faithfulness.
The Lord is my portion, says my soul.
Therefore I will hope in him.
The Lord is good to those who wait for him.
Thank you.
And now please join me in the prayer of confession that's printed in your bulletin. God of grace and glory, called by you, we gather this morning to worship as a family of faith. We come here from days of joy and of trouble, from circumstances friendly and unfriendly, from situations pleasant and unpleasant. We bring all of it to you, our hopes and dreams, our disappointments and struggles, our faith and our fears. We thank you for allowing us to be honest with you, as you know well our meager attempts to impress you have never been very impressive. Hear our silent words of confession and the cries of our hearts as we lift them to you in silent prayer. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far God removes our transgressions from us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.
Children, here and any out there, come join me here for a moment, please. Hi. See if you can give me the word I'm looking for. Ready? Thank you. Now, make it a little bit more difficult. You got it. Did you all hear that? Okay. What's the one word I was looking for?
Hallelujah.
What?
Hallelujah.
Just one word, Everett.
Follow,
that's right, follow. Now this is the hardest one. Watch me. One word. Louder.
Turn.
Excellent. Now, there's another word for turn, and I think I want you to say it. But it's the word Jesus uses, and it's a word for turning. Does anyone have a guess what word that is? Will? Louder. That's it. Repent. Way to go. Wow. Now, you're even smarter than I thought. Now, on your coloring stations, you have papers today, and when I'm preaching, I want you to be listening for those three words. And whenever you hear one of those words, you might mark it, you might color something, you might draw something, but be listening for those words. What was the first word? What was the second word? First word was? Second word was? And the third word was? Thank you. Way to go. Excellent. Do they go to their coloring stations now? Okay, go to your coloring stations and be ready.
But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Thank you.
Somehow it didn't make your announcements this morning, but you just should know that this afternoon at 2 is your last chance to see the Roberts Community Theater production of Newsies. That's today at 2. It's a really great cast. Really great cast. Including my grandson. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. And children, be listening for 3 words. Be listening to all the words, but especially be listening to 3 words. Reading from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he went back to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of the shadow of the death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The word of the Lord. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do we have the right people on the bus? I don't generally read business books, but some years ago I became acquainted with the writing of Jim Collins, and I've pretty much read every book he's published. Though he speaks to the business world, I find what he discerns there is applicable to church and pastoring. In one of his recent books, he unveils this concept called getting the right people on the bus. And what he's saying is, in building a leadership team, whether it's in business or sports or in the church, it's crucial to get the right people on the bus. They may not be in the right seats at the beginning. They may need to move around and find the right seat, but you want to get the right people on the bus. Now, when I read that, I was pastor of a church in Brunswick, New York. I was the lead pastor and the head of staff. It could be a school bus, Everett, yes. I invite interaction from all of you. And I was overseeing a staff with 8 other persons. So I began asking myself, do I have the right people on this bus? Are they in the right seats? Now, those on some days were not easy questions to which to say yes, because all 8 of them were flawed people. But then so was I. And all 8 of them had bad days, but then so did I. In fact, there were days in which I would look at them and think, "Do you belong in this bus?" And then I would have to look at myself and think, "Do I belong on this bus?" Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Are these the right 4 to have on the bus? Are these the core 4 you want to start with, Jesus? They're really rather ordinary people, these four, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Are you going to build a world ministry, Jesus, with these Galilean fishermen? Are these the right people? We see a pattern developing. We saw a little of it last week in John 1, and we see more today in Matthew 4. As Jesus begins gathering his team, his leadership team, the pattern seems to me to unfold in three steps. The first is he proclaims good news. And it's interesting that he uses the exact script that John the Baptist used. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That wasn't very original. John had been saying that. This is good news for preachers. We don't have to be original. We've been given a script that's pretty good. We don't have to improve on it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, the kingdom of heaven is near is probably a weak translation. I think a more accurate translation would be something like, the kingdom of heaven has burst upon the scene. Jesus has come. He's burst upon the scene. So repent, which simply means to turn, to make a course correction. Sometimes a major dramatic one, sometimes a minor one. Remember in the glory days of the space program, how from Mission Control in Houston, they would make course corrections on a mission that was halfway to the moon or beyond. It just needed an eighth of an inch or an eighth of a degree correction. Repenting, changing direction, changing your course. John preaches repentance. Jesus preaches repentance. Repentance is not a one-time, over-and-done activity. It's a life pattern of discipleship. I need to be repenting every day of my life, changing direction, sometimes just minor course corrections, but changing direction so that I'm turning away from that which takes me from God toward that which brings me to God. Repentance is a life journey. It's not settled on one day. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has burst upon the scene. Turn, follow me. Second step in the pattern is Jesus finds ordinary people in ordinary places doing ordinary things. Ordinary. I'm amazed at how God loves the ordinary. Fishing, if you live on the Sea of Galilee, around it, fishing is about as ordinary as it can be. It's the equivalent of lobstering if you live on the coast of Maine, or ice skating if you live in Canada, or surfing if you live in Hawaii. You just grow up doing this. They grew up fishing. This was ordinary activity. Ordinary people in an ordinary place doing an ordinary thing. God loves the ordinary. There was a time in which the brightest people on earth thought that planet Earth was about the only thing worth knowing about. We thought that our planet was the center of the universe, which was a fairly tidy universe, and everything revolved around planet Earth. And then 4 or 5 centuries ago, that was challenged, and we began to see that the universe was much bigger than we thought. And planet Earth, well, do you know now? We know, through the best astroscientists and physicists, that in our galaxy, there are over 10 billion planets that are roughly like planet Earth, revolving around stars that are roughly like our sun, 10 billion. Planet Earth, with all of its beauty and wonder in the universe, is rather ordinary. Yet when we see photographs of it from those Apollo missions, looking back from 200,000 miles out, it's amazingly beautiful, this little blue mark. But it's so ordinary. God loves the ordinary. When God calls ancient Israel to be his people, Here's how Deuteronomy 7 describes it. It was not because you were more numerous than any other people that the Lord set his heart on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. And we take the core four, and we go into Acts 4, and we find Peter and John, two of the four, actively serving, sharing the good news. And here's what the people hearing them observe. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. Uneducated and ordinary men. Now, I'm going to read that same passage from the paraphrase called The Message, which really gives flesh to it. The people couldn't take their eyes off them. Peter and John standing there so confident, so sure of themselves. Their fascination deepened when they realized that these were two lay people with no training in Scripture and no formal education. They recognized them as companions of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul writes to that church. And he says to them, take a good look, friends, at what you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks, chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus. And Jesus himself. Isaiah sees him as having those four glorious titles. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And yet he's born in a manger. Born to poor, humble parents in the most modest and humble of circumstances. And he lives in such ordinariness. The glory in the ordinary. See, the truth is, we're all clinkers. I thought that line would get more response here. We're not only surrounded by clinkers, we're all clinkers. What, Everett? Clinkers, Everett, are these bricks that have all kinds of funny things coming out of them. They aren't perfect bricks. They're bricks that that are clinkers. Hi, Freya. And Jesus calls the ordinary, and the third step is he calls them to follow. To follow, which is an active word. I've reached a place in my journey where I'd rather be called a follower of Jesus than a Christian. Did that jar you a bit? You're okay with that. Christian has become a rather static word. And in our time, the word Christian has a lot of baggage. That many people hear Christian and they think arrogant, proud, harsh, and judgmental. And by the way, the church in many ways has been guilty of coming across as arrogant and proud and harsh and judgmental. I want to be known as a follower of Jesus. Because follow means you're moving. Following means activity, a direction. Following. Following this one who is so ordinary and extraordinary at the same time. Following means tomorrow I'm not going to be at the same place I was today. Following means I'm moving. I've found a direction and it's pulling me forward. I'm changing, I'm repenting, I'm believing, I'm following. I was raised in a tradition in which a great deal of emphasis was put on having a dramatic, born-again experience. The more dramatic, the better. And if it really was the right kind, you could name the date, the time, and the place. Maybe some of you were raised in a similar tradition. We were really suspicious of people who called themselves Christians and who couldn't tell you with definition exactly when that happened. Fuller Seminary published a study a few years ago about how people become followers of Jesus. And it found in this study that about 15% of people could point back to a specific dramatic experience. About another 15% could point back to a fuzzy, not so clear experience. And the vast majority, 70%, could only describe their faith as a journey unfolding over time in which they are becoming followers of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but if that study is accurate, and I think it is, then the great majority of us in this room are finding Jesus in a long journey of following. And those of us who may be able to look back to a specific dramatic experience, if it's not followed by a life of following, then we have reason to question whether it's authentic at all. Because Jesus calls people to follow, to move, to get moving in the right direction, to follow him. Now, does Jesus have the right people on the bus? We've been introduced to the core four. Let me ask you this. Are there any Buffalo Bills fans here? Can you name your 12 favorite Buffalo Bills players? Can you? Thank you. Do we have any Yankees fans here? No, don't put your hands up. Now, you Yankees fans, can you name your 12 favorite Yankees? I'm not a Yankees fan, and I can name them. From Babe Ruth, Derek Jeter. And who was that one voter who didn't vote for him? And I am a Boston Red Sox fan, and I can tell you my 24 favorite Red Sox players. Now, next question. Jesus gathered 12 disciples to start this thing. Can you name all 12? Okay, let's start. Ready? Ready? Peter, Andrew, James, John, Thomas. Now, what do we know about Thomas? He's doubting everything. And who else? Judas. How did that end up? And did someone say Matthew? A tax collector, which meant everyone was suspicious of him. Oh, now, tell me everything you know about Thaddeus and Bartholomew. Philip. Simon. We know nothing about them. They were so ordinary. And Jesus chose them. Because God loves ordinary folk. And he finds ordinary folk in ordinary places doing ordinary things. And says, come on, follow me. I love ordinary. I love clinkers. My wife read me this poem earlier this week. It's by Matt Chandler, and it was found in Relevant magazine. And I quote, "What made me love Christ wasn't that all of a sudden I started figuring out how to do life. What made me love Christ is that when I was at my worst, when I was at my lowest point, when I absolutely could not clean myself up and there was nothing anybody could do with me, right at that moment, Christ said, I'll take that one. You're the one I want. You're the one I want. that you're here this morning with me indicates that we're on the bus together. Do we have the right people on the bus? You bet we do. All these ordinary folks, all these clinkers, all these ordinary folks that God looks at and says, you, come on, follow me. I just love ordinary folks. Amen. You love that hymn? What verse were you in? We clinker saints now bring the world before God in prayer. I have several that have been handed to me before, and then we will ask for others. We're asked to pray for Angelica Alvarez, for Eric and Catherine, and for Dottie with a health concern. And if you have joys or concerns, please raise a hand or stand so they can get a mic to you.
You might wish you were your darling.
Dorothy Munn, have a request. Bonnie's service will be on Friday.
Yes.
And as she was the person who started our prayer shawl ministry, we'd like everybody who received a prayer shawl over the last 15 years to wear one. And the other part of that is, I know she will be very happy to hear this, I just handed out the 501st prayer shawl.
Thank you. Reminder that we're all invited to gather here Friday at 4 to worship God and remember Bonnie's life. And those who receive prayer shawls, please bring them.
Jan Buettner, I'd like to ask prayers for another saint who just went home. Bob Dean from Spencerport, maybe some of you know him. He started the Spencerport Community Chorus years ago. and it was renamed in his honor last year as the Robert Dean Correale. Bob had a stroke a couple years ago, and he passed away this week. And so prayers for his wife, Nancy, and their whole family. Thanks.
Prayers for Bob's wife and family.
Kate Stanford, just prayers for my neighbor, Annette. She is not doing well. The infection has not been controlled, so they haven't been able to do cancer treatments. And she's just going downhill, and it's been a real long battle for her. So just prayers for healing for her and her family.
Kate, her first name?
Annette.
Annette, a neighbor. Kay?
Thanks. Kay Harder. I think it's probably appropriate for me to mention that I saw in the paper this morning that one of our saints, you'll remember her, Lorraine Zimmerman, that her oldest son has passed away, Tom. He grew up in this church. He was instrument in some of the architecture of this church along with his father. Lives in Canandaigua. So please, let's keep the Zimmerman family in your prayers. They're still a great part of this church. Thank you.
The Zimmerman family and the death of their son, Tom. Let us pray. God, it is a wonder, a mystery, that you so love the ordinary, that you so loved this planet, that you peopled it with such as us, and that you sent your Son in the fullness of time to live among us, flesh and blood, to identify with us in the very ordinariness of life and show the glory that is yours alone. We thank you that you call us, and though we sometimes like to think that we find Jesus, we come to realize that it is Jesus who finds us and calls us to follow. We pray for this world in all its beauty and in all its need, for Australia continuing to battle with wildfires, for parts of Asia and beyond under the fear of the coronavirus. We pray for doctors and scientists to have great skill and wisdom in discerning how to harness that virus, to control it and to eradicate it. We pray for our nation, particularly in the impeachment trial in the Senate. We pray for the senators to have wisdom, careful listening skill, humility. We pray for the president, both houses of the Congress, the Supreme Court. We pray for Chief Justice Roberts, as he is both leading the court and presiding in the trial in the Senate, that he will do both with skill, wisdom, and humility. We pray for your church today, O God, that we will be that light you intend us to be, conveyors of good news, people known for grace and love, mercy and forgiveness, welcoming people, non-judgmental people. We pray for this congregation, its session, deacons and trustees, and the designated pastor nominating committee. Thank you for the ways they serve your purposes here. We lift to you those in need, those dealing with mental health challenges, those in broken relationships, those in occupational and vocational challenges, the sick, the weak, the ailing, and the bereaved. As a congregation, we thank you for the lives of Bonnie, June, Fran, Tom, and others mentioned here. Comfort those who mourn. Be very near to the brokenhearted. We thank you, O God, for the kingdom bursting on the scene that has called us to follow. And we follow Jesus praying as he taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship God with our tithes and our offerings.
Before I start our prayer, I want to commend our newest ushering team for a job well done. Good job, guys. Let's pray. For the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you, gracious God. Help us to give freely of both our money and our ordinary lives, that we might make a difference in this world. Use them both in this place and wherever you might lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
instead of the hymn listed, we're singing one in the green books. This is a course correction. We're repenting. What number is it in the green?
43.
Number 43 in the green. Number 43 in the green. Thank you. Now the bus is going to leave the parking lot. We head back out there into the world in which we serve, in which there are so many ordinary people that God loves dearly. Let us go from here to be agents of good news, sharing good news in deed and in word. Inviting people to join us on the journey of following Jesus.